Praise be, Jesus and Mary. The end of the liturgical year is a time for the Church's proclamation of the second coming of Christ. We hear this as the theme every year toward the end of the liturgical year. And of course, this is the theme with the liturgical season of Advent, the coming of Christ. In the case of Advent, we prepare ourselves to celebrate the first coming of Christ at the Nativity, at Christmas. And at the end of the liturgical year, we are reminded that we need to ponder seriously on the fact that Christ will come again, his second coming. And so there is a definite connection between one and the other. The first coming, of course, in a state of hiddenness, obscurity, Christ showing his merciful designs for mankind, Christ permitting himself to be judged by mankind. The second coming instead regards Christ himself coming as judge of mankind, and you and I will have to give an account of our conduct before Christ. Of course, for all of us, Christ will come at the end of our lives. We will receive the so-called particular judgment. We will be involved in that particular judgment. We will know our destiny at that moment, whether we will, based upon our conduct, based upon the fact whether we are in a state of grace or no at the moment of death, whether we will be with God for all eternity or separated from God for all eternity. And perhaps at that moment, we will have to undergo purification because we will not have made up for all of our sins in purgatory, in that place of purgation, purification, in the flames of purgatory, before then going on to heaven and being in the presence of God forever. And we can speak also of the coming of Christ in our hearts. Of course, we receive Christ in the Holy Eucharist. And we can speak, therefore, of worthily preparing ourselves to receive Christ anew. On the one hand, we can speak of every time that we receive Christ worthily, we can speak, as it were, Christmas coming all over again. We celebrate Christmas all over again. Christ truly coming into our souls, and the rejoicing that ought to take place in our hearts on receiving the living Christ in our hearts. You see, we can experience Christmas every day. It's a wonderful gift of our Lord, really, when you think about it. That Christmas, in a sense, of course, the first Christmas was 2,000 years ago, and yet it becomes, in a certain way, present. Just as Calvary becomes present on our altars, Calvary is represented, as we know, on our altars in an unbloody manner. But then there's that aspect of preparing worthily for Holy Communion, because we have to, of course, receive him in a state of grace. If not, then we add condemnation to the further condemnation of the other sins that we have committed. So we have to prepare ourselves worthily. And of course, the more worthy we are, the purer our hearts are when we receive Christ, the more disposed we are to receive the graces that he wants to give us and to bear the fruit that he wants us to bear, having received the graces. So this also is tied to that preparation, that daily preparation that you and I must make with regard to that coming of Christ at the end of our lives, so that we will worthily stand in his, be able to stand in his presence, because he makes us able to stand in his presence And therefore be able to continue on to paradise, to be in his presence forever. So reflecting upon this fact that Christ came first, having designs of mercy on mankind, that we need to prepare ourselves to worthily receive Christ, who comes to us every day when we worthily receive him in Holy Communion, and the fact that we ought to be preparing to meet him, our judge and our maker, at the end of time, and worthily proclaiming all of these things, of course, to our fellow Christians and to non-Christians alike. We can make a connection between all of this and the life of Mary, the person of Mary, and how Pope Benedict refers to this woman in this way. He says, and this is Cardinal Ratzinger speaking, he says, Mary lived so deeply in the Old Covenant that it quite spontaneously became her own. It was so much her own that she found in it the strength to respond to her hour. God's word had become her word, and she surrendered her own word entirely to his. So she pondered, she constantly pondered on the divine mysteries. She had, of course, all of the writings which we now call the Old Testament, you know, the law and the prophets. Everyone in the nation of Israel, of course, had declared to them every Sabbath, the law and the prophets, a portion of the law and the prophets. Now, St. Paul writing says, at the same time, there was a veil over their minds. They didn't understand what it was that they heard proclaimed every Sabbath. Otherwise, why would they have crucified Christ? Our Blessed Lady pondered. She pieced together, as Pope Benedict puts it, these mysteries to form a unity, and thus prepared herself to receive the Savior in her heart, because this was what had to happen in order that she can then receive the Savior in her womb. St. Augustine first talks about Our Lady receiving the Messiah in her heart, the Savior of the world in her heart. So she conceived him in her heart before she conceived him in her womb. And St. Augustine says that first moment is even more important, the fact that she conceived him in her heart in a certain way of speaking. Insofar as, not that conceiving him in her womb wasn't important, but that it was necessary that she conceived him in his heart so that she can conceive the Savior in her womb. She prepared herself, in other words. The Lord prepared her, of course, in a very special way to be the dwelling place, the tabernacle of our Lord, because she is the Immaculate Conception. She is the full of grace. And so we recognize in this tabernacle, in this Virgin Mother, the God who has become man. Remember, we said the virginity of Mary and the divinity of Christ guarantee each other, in the words of Pope Benedict. And so God prepared this worthy dwelling place, filling her with his grace, and she, on her part, pondered the word of God. And in this beautiful expression, Cardinal Ratzinger says, God's word had become her word, and she surrendered her own word entirely to his. That wonderful exchange that happened, that resulted in the union of the divine nature and the human nature in the person of the Word, and the union of the will of the Mother with the will of the Son that we have reflected so much upon in these days. And this is how God prepared her, and she prepared herself to become a worthy tabernacle. And the two are not disjoint. That preparation is united, because Mary cooperates, as it were, with the preparation that God gave her. Now, in the first place, God takes the initiative, because how is it that Mary cooperates with the fact that she is the Immaculate Conception, that at the very first moment of her existence, that she is free from all sin. So in the first place, we acknowledge, we recognize a purely gratuitous action on the part of God. He gives something entirely. That donation that he gives is entirely from himself in the first place. Let us not forget this. But nonetheless, at every moment of her existence, our Blessed Lady, recognizing this fact, donates herself completely. So she turns herself completely to God at that very first moment of her existence, having been given that special grace, and she cooperates fully at every moment, bearing fruit at every moment of her existence, of her life, so that at the moment of the Annunciation, that yes, that she gives that statement, "Be it done to me according to thy word," is but a natural consequence, if we can speak in these terms, of an entire life lived in giving herself over entirely, in surrendering her word entirely to his, as Cardinal Ratzinger puts it, in allowing God's word to become her word by that constant pondering, that piecing together of the mystery that is foreshadowed in the Old Testament. And so she was prepared to receive the Savior of the world, and she was thus prepared to share in the mission of the Word. So very important for understanding how she fits in to the divine plan for the salvation of the world and for the glorification of God. Now we come to the foot of the cross, and the mother and the disciple are there. And we reflected upon the fact that the disciple, taking her into his own home, means, as Pope Benedict says, welcoming her into his own reality, his own existence. And this acceptance of the mother in his own life being the Lord's testament, the words of Pope Benedict. And so, this, what is at first involving two persons, the mother and the son, now involves the whole church. Because the mother and the disciple standing at the foot of the cross, there you see the church. The church issuing from the side of Christ, there you see the church, and that reality of the mother preparing herself, inviting the Savior into her, making her word, surrendering her word to God's word, now involving the disciple. And the disciple, as it were, surrendering his. How does he do that? He welcomes the mother into his own reality, his own existence, because that's what the Lord told him to do. "Woman, behold your son, behold your mother." And this is the way that this reality now becomes our reality. And by making this our reality, this becomes the Lord's testament. So when we make this our reality, the Lord's testament becomes present, and therefore the Lord becomes present. Here we begin to understand what our mission is all about, why we've been put on the face of the earth. We have to make the Lord's testament shine forth. And we do this by accepting the command of the Lord, "Behold your mother." When we do this, we allow the mother's preparation to become our preparation, you see. The mother's yes flows into our hearts so that we become enabled in a very special way, in a powerful way, in the most perfect way to become worthy tabernacles of our Lord, and thus to allow the Lord's testament to shine forth. And if we want to understand why we're here in the here and now, in the difficult times that we are, it is to remind the whole world, beginning with our fellow Catholics, that's what we're here for. This is what you must accept. This reality that we proclaim must be your reality. You must welcome the Mother into your own reality, your own existence. Then you will find out what you're all about, why you are here, where you come from, where you're going, the basic questions, so that you can be worthy tabernacle and the Lord's testament will shine through you. How else will the Lord's testament shine through you unless you welcome the Mother into your reality, your existence, into the dynamism of your existence? This is the proclamation that must be made. To put it in other words that we have explained before. In doing so, in this difficult age, allowing the Mother's life to penetrate ours, then, worthily receiving the Lord who comes to us in Holy Communion, we will find that we will be prepared for the coming of the Lord, because the Mother herself will watch over us. The mediatrix of all graces will give us those graces that, because we will have opened our hearts to the Mother, we will receive, we will accept, and we will be prepared, and we will cast out fear with regard to the coming of our Lord. So that our entrustment of ourselves to the Mother and her entrustment to us, that reciprocal self-commitment spoken of by Cardinal Ratzinger, becomes the ever-new way to Christ's birth and brings about Christ taking form in man, Christ manifesting himself, coming to birth. That's put in very simple words what we must take to heart in the here and now. Starting with this foundation, starting all over again, reminding our fellow Christians how we must proceed, how we must make the Mother manifest, make her manifest, so that Christ becomes manifest. And we have to make her manifest in an ever new way. Even though it's the same Mother, she remains the same mediatrix of all graces. For just as in previous times, the Church, guided by the Holy Spirit, has proclaimed the splendors of our Blessed Lady in an ever more manifold way, so much the more in our time, when there seems to be such a force to obscure, to push aside the Mother, so much the more must we be willing to be those worthy tabernacles, to proclaim the presence of the Lord, to share in the Mother's mission, attention, of preserving the memory of Jesus, and thereby to preserve his presence. We spoke of that as a kind of simple formula for our mission, of the Mother's mission, in which we share, which she shares with us. Preserve the memory of Jesus, preserve his presence. Very important right now that we take this to heart and that with all of our hearts, we do everything within our power to help others do the same. My dear friends, let us not be surprised if the days come when certain powers of the world will focus particularly on those disciples of our Blessed Lady and try to extinguish their spirit. Read the history of Communist China if you want to find out more. What happened in the late 1940s and early 1950s. The Communists, do you know what they did? They went specifically after the Marian Sodalities, after the members of the Legion of Mary, well established at that time. Why would they do such a thing? Because inspired by you know who, they understood the power of the adherents of our Blessed Lady. But the message might be obscured for a time, but eternally it cannot be. Here's a summons to great courage, a courage which we will not find unless we take the Mother into our reality, our existence, into the dynamism of our being. It is absolutely imperative. If it was in former times, how much the more now? But it's the Mother's will, and therefore the Son's, that great disciples of Our Lady be raised, not in the future, but now. And in raising these now, these disciples shall proclaim the coming of our Lord, and those who have the ears to hear will know how to prepare themselves very well for the coming of our Lord, because what is now is passing. What is to come remains. And so let us not fear, first of all, to allow the testament of the Lord to take hold in our hearts and to do everything in our power to the shedding of our blood, if that is what the Mother wants, to do the same for the greater glory of God and the salvation of all souls. Praise be Jesus and Mary.